Oh wow, so good to hear you. There's a demonstration.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know.
I don't even know.
Right. They, you know, call in, have you heard from Winnie yet? I said, no, you know.
How many people?
Oh, you know, a few, three, four, five.
Oh, wow. People around here are watching.
Okay,
me,
George?
Yeah.
Good.
So, I refuse to go out on the street tonight, by the way, after all the things that happened. I'm staying at McCarthy headquarters.
Staying at McCarthy headquarters?
I'm not on yet, am I?
I'm about to put you on.
Oh, okay, tell me when you do, so I don't make a complete ass.
I'm putting you on.
Am I on?
Yes, you are now.
Okay, so I'll tell you the whole...
Well, first tell everybody who you are.
Okay, I'm Winnie.
You're Winnie, and we're happy to hear from you. You've been missing for 24 hours.
I'm in the lovely city of Chicago. It's a nice place to pass through, but I wouldn't want to visit here.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, I'll tell you, this morning we came down, and I was watching television, and we watched the Peace Plank. And when that was over, I was so depressed, so I just had Abigail go out for a walk. And meanwhile, you know, alone in this big, ugly city.
This is Wednesday afternoon? Is that what you meant by this morning?
Yeah, is that, yeah.
Wednesday afternoon when they began voting on the Peace Plank, right? Okay.
Right. Now, I forget what time they finished.
Uh-huh.
I lose my...
I think it was around 5:30 in the afternoon. Our time, Eastern time, so it was probably around 5, 4:30 your time.
Right.
You know.
I think it was about 5, and now that you mention it, was about 4:30 or 5. So about 5 o'clock, I went out on the street, and I was standing, I wasn't in Grant Park, I was on the sidewalk, because I didn't have anybody with me, I wasn't with anybody, and I was kind of, you know, I was just completely out of it, because I was very upset about the voting. So, all of a sudden, the people finally, everybody who was in the amphitheater in Grant Park, they had a permit till 4 o'clock, by the way, to be there.
Right.
And at 4, things started happening. So, I'm being told at 7, things started happening. At 4, things started happening. And so I was still standing there, and I saw many, many people all from the amphitheater running across the bridge, and people were joining them. And then all of a sudden, I saw all these people surging towards me, and I just stood there the whole time. So thousands of people were around me, and hundreds upon hundreds of police. And then all of a sudden, I saw the police throw something, and everybody was walking around coughing and sneezing and holding their eyes and holding their nose, and I just stood there, and I couldn't figure out what was the matter with all these people. And everybody was running around doing these strange things. So I stood there for about 5 or 10 minutes.
You always were a little naive, weren't you?
A little dumb.
Yeah.
And I stood there for about 10 minutes, and I finally realized that I was gagging and crying and about to drop dead. So I decided to go into the Hilton, which, by the way, I do have business in. You know, it's not like I'm somebody off the street who walks in there.
Yeah, well, maybe we better explain for those people who don't know what you're doing in Chicago that you're working. I don't know really what you're doing, but you're with the New Jersey delegation, the McCarthy people, right?
Right.
In the New Jersey delegation,
right.
As a general, run around and...
Well, actually, what we've been doing is publishing an informative paper for the New Jersey delegation.
Planted, didn't do much good, did it?
Planted very highly towards McCarthy, mm-hmm. but an important paper with all sorts of good information.
And you had a permit or whatever to be on one floor of the hotel, correct? The Hilton Hotel?
In addition to being in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Which is open under normal circumstances.
Right.
So I started over the Hilton, and I was stopped immediately. And I was told that only people who lived there, press, and delegates could go in. So I figured, I'm not going to fight it. Here I am, choking to death.
Did you? Were you wearing any sort of a pass or identification or anything?
Oh, well, I had, you know, my regular thing. But
yeah.
That was it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't live there or anything. And one kid, well, that's another story I'll tell you that about later. One kid who lived there couldn't get in tonight, because he didn't have his past history, and he couldn't get to a phone. They wouldn't let him phone somebody to come down and okay him.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story.
Well, there are lots of stories like that. There was a pressman, I've forgotten his name now, somebody working for one of the major networks, you know, a name that we'd recognize if I could. I'm having difficulty remembering lots of things tonight. I've been up for 2 days. He was having difficulty getting onto the floor because his credentials supposedly weren't in order. And here's a guy that everybody knows.
Thrown off the floor.
Yeah, right. We watched that happen.
I mean, there are a lot of goodies going around. I mean, this is... When you hear the end of this 50-minute story I have to tell, you'll be just so amazed.
Mm.
Interrupt me when you have to give an ID.
Go ahead.
So, I finally left. And meanwhile, I hadn't had anything to eat all day, and I figured I'll go back to the hotel, and I'll get a little cheered up. So I went back to the hotel, and I stood there and watched for about 5 minutes the nonsense on the television about, let's see, who's going to nominate who. And I got sick, so I walked out again. It was about half hour later. And I left, and I figured, okay, I'll do one of two things. I'll either go to Abigail's, which is the McCarthy shop in the Hilton. It's a very nice place. Everybody just sits and watch television and boos at the right times and cheers at the right times. I figured I'll either go to Abigail's or I'll find a nice little demonstration going on, which I'll join. So I started walking up the block, got on Michigan Avenue. The Palmer House is on Wabash Street, which is one block from Michigan Avenue. Got to Michigan Avenue, and this man stops me. And I noticed he had about four cameras hanging around his neck, and he had a Time Life press pass hanging around his neck. Everything has to hang around your neck in this place.
Yeah. Let me just interrupt you for a second. Were you wearing any kind of special clothes? Like, did you have on, a McCarthy hat or, a bandana or anything like that?
I had a McCarthy button on my clothes. I had a Stop Humphrey button on, and I had a very small McCarthy button on my pocketbook. A lot of people wear a lot. I never wear a lot of... a lot of things, you know, because it's easier to disguise yourself as was necessary later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So this man stops me, a Time Life reporter stopped me and said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I was just going for a walk." She says, "Well, you better go in the other direction." So I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "It's the ugliest, most grotesque thing I ever saw up there. Don't go up there, you'll get killed." So, that's all he had to tell me. So I said, "Well, where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to get more equipment." And he says, "Oh, you're going to the Hilton?" So I said, "Yes." He says, "Just watch yourself." So with that, about three or four blocks up was, I'd say, about 5 or 10,000 people, somewhere in between there, probably closer to 10,000 people, in the middle of the street. Being led by someone on a bullhorn saying, "Keep calm, stick together, don't let them bother you," going on and on and on, very calmly.
What time was this?
This was about 8.
In other words, it had grown dark by now.
Not quite. It was still pretty late.
Mm. Okay.
And I kept walking, and there were people on the outside shouting and screaming. One girl was going crazy shouting pigs, which is one of the big slogans out here.
Mm-hmm.
The other slogan is F-U-L-B-J, only they're not saying, the people here think I should tell you, should blow the station off the air.
Well, there's been a lot of that going on in the New York area tonight, in a number of places, so don't worry about it.
And F.U. Mayor Daley and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was lots of screaming and lots of going on, and I still didn't know what was happening until I walked a little bit further, and I saw about 10 feet from the first demonstrators, who were down on their knees with their hands crossed on their chest, the first row of demonstrators, 10 feet from them were two rows of cops. with their clubs. And about every 5 minutes, they ran up and would charge the demonstrators, swinging and arresting. They carried maybe 3 or 4 people off every time they charged.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is the scene you're describing, then, is what we've been seeing on the three major networks, or at least we had been seeing practically all night then.
Yes, right. I saw it before. I saw the reruns of the nonsense. Then I walked up a little further, and by this time I was very, very upset by the whole thing. So I crossed. Oh, I decided I was going to go into the Hilton. I walked up, and in front of me were like a row of policemen. So I said, "Could I please cross?" And the gentleman said to me, "No, you may not." And the man next to him said, "Get along, girlie," or something like that. So I said, "Well, I'd like to get to the Hilton, if I may." You know, I was like, it made me sick the way I had to act to these people. It just made me sick that I had to be so humble and lick their shoes and have them be insolent to me, you know, any minute, knowing that they could club me and arrest me and give any old reason, and it would be valid to Mayor Daley and anybody else. And it just, the whole thing made me sick. So finally they told me I had to go across the street. They were being terribly nasty about the whole thing. There was one man in the line who was nice to me, by the way. I should mention that. I don't think he beat on the demonstrators any less than anybody else, but he was nice to me. So I walked across the street, and I couldn't go any further. I was just watching what was going on, and I was just so upset that I couldn't move. And
Let me interrupt for a second.
Okay.
This is WFMU in East Orange, New Jersey, at 91.1 FM, and we're talking with Winnie Bauman, who is in Chicago right now, safe and sound. Where are you now? At the hotel?
I'm at Palmer House Hotel.
You're at Palmer House Hotel. Okay.
So I was just standing there by a tree, and I was terribly upset, and the people, I don't know if you've heard that there are people here, volunteers here, who were wearing white robes, mm-hmm. and crosses on their robes.
Many they've been in evidence on all the films also.
Right, and they don't get hit, as far as I know.
I've seen them get hit.
Well, I haven't. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky.
Yeah.
So one of them came up to me and asked me if my eyes were all right, and I told him it wasn't my eyes that were hurting. And he was very, very nice. He asked me if I wanted anything or anything, and I thanked him. A couple of people came up to me, were very nice. And I just stood there kind of immobile at the whole thing. It was just so amazing.
Now, around you, were there beatings going on at this point?
No, I was to the side. Actually, there were like three groups of people in the center of the street. Actually, it was very reminiscent of the New York March, only it was just the opposite. In the New York March, 2 years ago, the big peace march, mm-hmm. in the New York March, the demonstrators were in the street, and the police were on the outside protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, the police were on the inside clubbing them.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but see the comparison. So there were the people in the march, there were the sympathizers on the sidewalk, and then there were the people in the park. I was in Grant Park, which is like 20 feet from where the beatings were going on. And they kept being pushed back further and further. They were pushed back maybe 3 blocks or so. And I was just standing there, and I got quite cold. So I left for a while, and I was standing around in the other the park for a long time, because I found I couldn't get into the Hilton no matter what. They were only allowing people who lived there and the president. They weren't allowing delegates at all, or anybody else.
In other words, you had no work to do.
What?
Tonight. You didn't have any work to do tonight in the Hilton.
No, well, I had some things I could have done, but mm-hmm. which I guess lived without me. I don't live there, so I couldn't get in, and I'm not a press.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I do work for FMU, but it doesn't count. So I was just standing around in the park, and it got to be around 10 of 11, and I thought, well, I better get back to the hotel. People are going to worry about me because they, you know, they can hear all this nonsense going on. By this time, many of the demonstrators in the street were poor people from Michigan, and they let the poor people go to the amphitheater. So it started to break up after they had, like, six rows of National Guard with unsheathed bayonets, and two rows of policemen. And then on the sides of the street, there were policemen all over the place. It was really disgusting. So I decided to leave because I didn't want anybody to worry too much about me, and I still hadn't eaten all day. And I thought it was time. So I started to leave, and I started to walk out of Grant Park at 10 of 11. And all of a sudden, at the end of the park, I was all by myself, and I faced 200 policemen walking in a long line. It was the curfew time, or 10 minutes before the curfew time. I hadn't even thought of this. I thought of it at 9 o'clock or something, but not at 11. And they were coming at me, swinging their clubs. And I panicked. I didn't know what to do. All I knew is that I had to keep calm and I had to walk, because this is what everybody was shouting all night. Keep together, keep calm, and walk.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were other people in the park around you, weren't there?
There were other people in the park, but there was nobody around me.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't anybody, like, within 100 feet.
Yeah.
And there were very few people. In this part of the park, I had already walked out of the park where the mainstream of action was.
Yeah.
And I was walking towards the Palmer House. And these policemen were just walking towards me. And I didn't know what to do. So I started to walk on the outside. I thought I could get around them. And then they spread out. And I was so lucky. I don't know how this happened. About 10 kids started running towards the outside. So all the policemen on that side ran after them, swinging their clubs, and I just walked through so that they left. I don't know, you know, how it happened that I was so lucky, but that's what happened. Then I walked back to the Palmer House, and there were security checks outside and everything. And then I went to get something to eat in the restaurant next door, and there were people there calling the lawyers. What is that called? The American Civil Liberties Union.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get a hold of their friends in jail. They couldn't find out where they are. They couldn't do anything. It was just, you know, the whole thing was so bad, and they started asking me things, you know, like how the scene was over there. And I started to tell them, and like everybody I met in all Chicago, all the kids have been so wonderful. They said to me, you know, like, just be careful because you're alone, and, you know, stay out of the street and things like that. They're just so wonderful. The only nasty people in here are not kids, I'm telling you that. You know, I haven't seen one bad kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very unusual, I would say. So after that, I came back to the office, and we got a call from the Massachusetts delegation, and they said, would we please come up and help collect bail?
Mm-hmm.
And this time...
Do you have much more to go? Because we're sort of running out of tape, so
try to
speed it up a little bit.
Okay. So we went up and we got these boxes and we started collecting bail for the kids who had been in jail on the floors. And
in the Palmer House.
Right. And we were collecting bail, and then somebody told us it was illegal. So, okay, we stopped collecting bail and we went to the Massachusetts delegation's room. And we were there about 5 minutes watching the reruns of this afternoon's great happenings.
Mm-hmm.
And in walks these three burly men, plain clothes men, and insist upon seeing our identification. We were in a private room, mind you. So I took out my wallet, showed them my identification, and one kid refused to show it to them unless he saw their credentials. And they said he was under arrest. They arrested one kid also because they found him collecting money.
Now, these were plainclothes city policemen?
City policemen, I think. I have no idea. I didn't see the credentials.
Mm-hmm. They had no warrant, did they?
No. Mm-hmm. That's the kid says, where's your warrant? You can't arrest me if you don't have a warrant. And they said, we don't need a warrant. You're under arrest.
Mm-hmm.
They were terribly nasty. I couldn't believe it. I was very upset by the whole thing. They arrested another kid because he was 18 and he had one beer in a private room. They had arrested about half the people in the room. There were only about seven of us there. They arrested three people. Just out of no place. They just barged into the room and arrested them. So we didn't know what to do. So we came back to our room and tried to call. We locked ourselves in. And we tried to call someone of authority because there was no one of authority with us. And the phone went dead.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing was...
The phone went dead. This is interesting. I hope the girl who called before is still listening. A girl called, I guess it was 45 minutes to an hour ago. She received a phone call from a friend of hers in Chicago. You know, the girl was like in the middle of all this, in the park, calling from a payphone, and the girl in Chicago was, you know, completely hysterical, and she just, you know, had called this girl on the East Coast here, like her best friend, and, you know, she heard noise all around the place, and then all of a sudden the phone went dead. And this is like the third or fourth, incident of this that I've heard of tonight.
Oh, it's fairly common.
Mm.
The phone was dead for like a half an hour. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling all sorts of paranoia. And then the kids from our New Jersey delegation finally walked in, and he said that through some sort of politics, they got him out. I don't know how. You know, by licking their shoes or something. It was really ridiculous. He said that they had to apologize for him being nasty. They had to say they were unaware of the law and apologize for doing it. And the whole thing was so bad. We had to take off all our McCarthy, everything that had McCarthy on it, we had to take off.
Were ordered to do this?
Not by the powers that be in the city, but by the powers that be in McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
for what reason?
Well, because they knew who we were and they would get us for anything.
Yeah, right.
At this point. And paranoia was just completely setting in. It was impossible.
Sure.
So right now everything looks fairly calm.
Do you have any idea what's going on in the city now? Is there anything going on in Lincoln Park? Because we've been getting vague rumors about a big gathering in Lincoln Park and a confrontation with the National Guard.
Well, I don't know about that. I do know that they're being allowed to sleep in Grant Park.
People are being allowed to sleep in Grant Park.
Yes.
That's something we didn't know.
Yes. This is something quite new. This is something as of an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there is a McCarthy people demonstration in the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
All the McCarthy people. And as I said before, it's impossible to get into the Hilton.
Yeah.
So these are people who are in the Hilton. These are the hardcore. These are the important people. And they were booing the Humphrey people as they came in.
Right. But you haven't heard anything now. It's what, 10 after 3 in Chicago now?
Yes.
10 after 4 here. You've heard nothing about a confrontation in Lincoln Park.
I can ask the other people here.
Yeah, do it quickly because...
Confrontation in Lincoln Park?
Lincoln Park. No. The authority says there are some people in Lincoln Park, but they started moving out. The scene is Grant Park.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's something new.
Yeah, well, this was...
As of a half an hour ago.
No, it wasn't. It was much longer, you know.
Oh, well, the person I just asked just came in an hour ago.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, how long will you be staying out there now? Do you know?
Oh, I'll probably be leaving tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Does that mean... Friday morning or Thursday morning?
This morning.
It's already this morning.
This morning. I'm leaving. Unless I may decide to stay on if something grotesquely unreal happens.
Yeah.
In which case, I'll either take a plane back or I have a ride this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So one way or the other, I don't know. It's not that important, I guess. Anyhow, I'll probably make it back for my show on Sunday.
Well,
you guys are all lucky.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe I'll come and talk to you sometime on the air.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, now if you know, if you stay tomorrow, or today, you know, when the sun comes up, and if things should develop, and you're in the middle of them, you know, don't hesitate to call,
okay.
No matter what time it is, and you know, let us know. Okay.
It's very hard to find a phone in the middle of things.
Yeah, that's what we understand.
The only place where there are phones are in the hotels, and you can't get in the hotels when any action is happening at all.
Yeah.
So it's really a strange situation.
Okay, wait.
Okay?
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Okay, now, I'll be home soon.
Okay, right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is WFMU, Freeform Radio in East Orange, New Jersey. I'm calling from Chicago, the site of the Democratic National Convention of sorts. A daily welcome wagon just went by with about two dozen teenagers doing the twist. But the interesting thing about it was 2 feet behind it was an Army Jeep with a guy with a submachine gun covering it. There's been a lot of violence directed towards the Yippie Convention, which is being held in Lincoln Park. Last night, the police refused to let anyone sleep there. A permit has never been granted. And at 11 o'clock, they came in force. At that time, there were about 1,000, maybe 2,000 people in the park, and they fled to the streets, taking over the Old Town and Rush Street areas of the city. Then some people went back into the park, and the police promptly shoved them out. Even people who were not in the park but standing on the streets adjacent to it were roughed up a little. I didn't actually, myself, I wasn't involved in the violence, neither was Dennis. It's kind of a strange cocaine karma newscast. But people that we know and personal friends were involved were clubbed and beaten. A Newsweek photographer, Jake Lowenthal, was beaten up pretty bad. And let's see, the Yippie Pig, Pegasus, who was running for president, was arrested for being in downtown Chicago. And Country Joe and the Fish, was arrested a few days ago and beaten. Not too badly, though. He'll be around. Tomorrow night, there's a anti-birthday party for Lyndon Johnson being directed by Norman Mailer. It's going to be held at the Coliseum. And information about what's happening is very scattered. There's no direct news central for information about either Yippie activities or activities of the various peace committees which are in town. The only news that we get is news about the convention. And what's happening here is rather pretty strange. McCarthy is gaining in support, and Humphrey is really losing. He came into the convention about, last week with at least 1,200 votes. I'm talking about Humphrey, which would have ensured him the nomination on the first ballot. Since then, he's lost between 300 and 400 delegates. What's happening is this. The polls are really down on Humphrey. And the southern delegates, who are his main support right now, are uptight because he's in favor of getting rid of the unit rule, which would allow the heads of southern delegations to just pledge all of their votes to one candidate rather than let the individual delegates vote for the candidate they want. So what's happened is that Texas and a number of other southern states want to nominate favorite sons on the first ballot or re-nominate Lyndon Johnson. Now, what this means is that Humphrey's main core of strength, his main support, which has been the southern delegations all along, and has always been that, are starting to fall. Mayor Daley runs the Illinois delegation, which is about 165 votes. They caucused yesterday and were expected to come out for Humphrey. They didn't. They made no choice. Mayor Daley said that he would announce on Wednesday who they would be supporting. But one of their delegates, his name is Clark and is running for the Senate, has come out since then in favor of McGovern, which is really a big breakthrough. Daley usually rules his delegation with an iron hand. He's a typical Midwestern hick, Irish Catholic with a Polish accent. and has been running his city, and it's just an enemy encampment. Most of the journalists from the establishment press and the news reporters have been getting beaten up and as bloodied as the yippies or hippies or anyone with long hair. There isn't a cop in town without a bloody nightstick. There, all the cops are on duty. The National Guards are bivouacked in most of the parks, waiting to be called out. There won't be a confrontation tonight between the people and the police. Wednesday night, which is the nominating night at the convention, will be the big thing. If Johnson shows up in the city, there probably will be trouble. I don't know of what kind or from where. The head of the Puerto Rican community has said that his people are going to do something. Now, what that means, I don't know exactly, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him. I've talked to the Iowa and Nebraska delegations about who they're supporting. Now, I don't know if you know, but they have been backing Humphrey. But in the last week, once again, the three delegates I talked to from Nebraska are switching to McCarthy. And Iowa is just hasn't made up their mind whether they're going to switch or not. Apparently, Chicago is a stronghold for McCarthy people. Now, Daley, of course, is an old Kennedy man and wants to nominate Ted Kennedy, who, of course, says he doesn't want to run for anything. Now, if Illinois does vote for Ted Kennedy, then that's just another stumbling block for Hubert Humphrey and will ensure an open convention. I really had doubts as to whether there would be any chance for any kind of open convention, but it seems now as though the Democrats are being forced into allowing a free nominating convention. Dave?
Yeah?
You got any specific questions? My head is just a jumble of things that have been happening.
Right.
Just really funny things. Last night when we left the park at 11 o'clock when the police threw us out initially, people ran into the streets, seizing the streets, which is a New York tactic. And there are a lot of teenagers who were apparently had seen the movie Wild in the Streets and were climbing up telephone poles and shouting out all the slogans that were used in that movie. It was really very funny. But I'm waiting to see how many people, like the mobilization and the Fifth Avenue Peace Parade, and all the liberal, moderately left, middle-class organizations bring in for Wednesday night. This is where the trouble is going to, the confrontation will come. The yippies are just a radical diversion right now. Mm-hmm. I think that if there's going to be trouble at the convention, it will come from the committed people, middle-class people, who I'm not siding with, by the way. But that's where it's at right now. There was a great concert in the park yesterday. The police broke it up, but the MC5 performed, and they were really exciting. Really exciting.
Did you mention, Bob, about what you had just told me earlier?
Oh, about the lovin' in the convention?
Well, that and the other fellow that, was that confirmed or anything?
Oh, right. Thursday night, kid was killed. He was shot down in, I guess I would call it a gun battle with the police. Now, I didn't get in until Saturday, but there were two reports, one from the SDS newspaper and, of course, the one in the establishment press. The kid had a gun. Who drew first, I don't know. He got one shot off and then was hit by a whole flock of bullets. This was Thursday night. He's a 17-year-old full-blooded Indian. And after he was shot to death, his companion, who had made no effort to resist, just a stranger he'd met on the street, was really beaten up pretty bad by the cops. That's the only report we have of someone really dying. Of course, there have been scattered incidents throughout the city of people getting beat up in their hallways, cops saying, no, you don't live here, and them saying, yes, here's my address, I live here, and then that's being totally disregarded. You really feel like an enemy here walking down the streets if your hair is a little long or if you have a beat or even a button that says McCarthy or Kennedy or anything else. If you're not a straight-line, Midwestern, cropped hair, polite young man, you're in trouble. This is the mayor's city. It's his convention, and he's not going to allow it to be upset. Now, don't forget that Mayor Daley is the man that said, shoot looters on sight. And, baby, the cops are working double-duty 12-hour shifts. And they don't get paid overtime in Chicago for double shifts. And they're saying, man, we're not getting paid for it. We want to get some blood out of it. And they're not kidding. They're waiting to strike. They'll use any incident. The kid that was killed Thursday is just an example. Now, at the music concert, which was Sunday at 4 o'clock, the MC5 just got into their set. And they were really great. Perhaps the best non-San Francisco group around. They're the most exciting music. We have tapes of them, which we'll be playing when we come back. As soon as they got into their concert, there was a fracas involving the police and someone else. So the cops just rode the herd right through the dance.
Does the Chicago police have a special unit like the TPS
yeah.
in New York?
Yes, they do.
What are they called?
Tactical police, I guess. Mm. Same thing. Riot control police. Every cop in town is wearing a helmet. Even the cop that stands at the corner of the street directing traffic, which is really kind of funny because a lot of the Chicago cops are the old line Irish cops with the big beer bellies, you know, and the gray hair. To see them confronting these teenagers, you know, it's just a very wild scene. Someone has gotten credentials into the Democratic Convention and is going to have a love-in if he can get a chick. He's going to make love right on the convention floor. And the guy is really serious about it. It's a great thing, you know, if that could come across. We haven't been able to get credentials. We're trying to get in now. John Genet is going to be in there, William Burroughs, Allen Ginsberg, Norman Mailer. They're all doing, and Terry Southern are doing a thing for Esquire. I've seen Ginsberg about three times since I've been in town. And he's just been beautiful. During the height of all the tension in Lincoln Park between the young people and the pigs, Ginsberg has been walking through chanting Hare Krishna and Om and just calming everyone down and getting us all together. He's really amazing. You know, the older I get, the more respect I have for the man. He's completely together. Dave?
Yeah, okay.
Still there? I'm probably going to call in tonight. There's not much happening today at all. It's kind of like a stillness in the air. People waiting, wondering. The establishment press are admitting that it's as bad as Nazi Germany, and it really is. The convention is surrounded with barbed wire. The streets are just, there are armed guards in the streets, and they're beautiful blue uniforms with their powder blue helmets and their big black sticks and guns. When they cleared the park last night, they didn't pull out their clubs. They walked through with shotguns. And they hit people with the butt end of their shotgun. And, you know, they're really looking for a motivation to kill. I just don't know what to say about it.
Have they used any of the mace or anything yet?
They haven't used mace yet. They're just using brute strength. I don't know if they will use mace. You know, I don't think it's a regular piece. Is it a regular piece of equipment for Chicago police? It is now, but I don't know if they'll use it. You know, these are old-fashioned cops. You know, they want to use their hands. They want to draw blood with their hands. Maces for pussies, you know.
Right.
They're men, you know, Midwestern men, Americans.
And ex-Marine types.
Right. All right. I'll probably be calling in about midnight tonight or 1 o'clock.
Okay, we've taped this, so we'll probably be rebroadcasting this for anybody who hasn't heard it now.
All right, great. And if you have any questions, like, you know, line them up so I can answer them. Because I'm all confused, you know, now about the order of events. The rumors are just flooding the city. Everyone expects that Wednesday night it's going to go up in fire if Humphrey is elected or if Johnson shows. Mm-hmm. But people are really uptight, you know. The thing the Democrats would be wise in doing is, you know, nominating McCarthy, man, just to keep their lives together. Mm-hmm. It's really gone down to that. People are much more militant. Editors of Midwestern magazines are uptight. Working people are uptight. And they're uptight about the established party doctrines. And if it's not going to be an open convention, these are the people, man, responsible people who are going to be uptight. Not just the shiftless people like myself, but people who are really together and concerned about, you know, like their own security. They're willing to sacrifice it if this is not going to be an open convention.
The McCarthy people that went out there, do they look like they might be getting to the verge of being militant?
Yeah, if McCarthy isn't nominated or given a fair chance on the convention floor, that's where the trouble is going to begin. Now, I estimate that'll be about 1,000 people mm-hmm. inside, including delegate strength and alternate.
Okay, go ahead.
Chicago is a big, uptight city with a small Midwestern mind. It's a farmer's city, the place where they come for weekends to sell their cows or their corn. Instead of a stock exchange with bonds and commodities, they sell corn and grain. It's a civil war, it's brother against brother. The war that's going on now in Chicago is setting father against son, mother against daughter. The police are probably the most brutal anywhere in the United States. They're big Midwesterners with big bellies and big arms and sharp clubs and knives. They got shotguns. They cleared the park out last night with guns.
They're not taking mace and tear gas.
Mace and tear gas. They're not taking any crap from anybody. Even the news media falls under their bloodstained clubs.
They don't want the news media.
Right. Photographers, radio men, journalists, anyone that was around, no matter if they had official badges or not. The convention hall is surrounded by barbed wire. The hotels where candidates are staying are just total police camps now. The beatings have extended from young chicks, yuppies, to people like Hugh Hefner, who was walking in the Wells Street Old Town area last night with Jules Pfeiffer and one of Hefner's secretaries, and a cop pushed him to the side, striking him a bloody blow on the buttocks. And he's pretty uptight. Lawrence Lipton, a reporter from the Los Angeles Free Press.
In his 70s,
does the Radio Free America column and is trying to get enough money up to put an offshore radio station on the West Coast. Came into the park today looking for the young people. Asked a plainclothesman, who he didn't know was a plainclothesman, where the kids were. The cop put his arm around Lipton, who's 70 years old, and hit him on the back of the head with a club. When Lipton fell to the ground, the cop struck him about 8 or 9 times on the legs. It goes on there. John Genet, the French playwright and author, was chased out of the park today. Alan Katzman of the East Village Other was beaten
in our car.
Right. Last night at 2 o'clock in the morning,
driving down the street in the car, they smashed the front windshield and started just waving around a blackjack in the car, which struck him in the arm.
Right. The car ruined,
bruised his arm.
Yeah. Dennis went through a rather interesting experience with Gil, the photographer from the East Village Other, last night.
Yeah, we walking down Wells Street back trying to find our car. They just, 2 carpools, about 8 of them, just jumped on us.
Plain
up against the wall, everything out of your pocket, your shoes off. Just beating you up and down and searching you over and over, saying, threatening to throw in jail with a knife at our throat. It was really amazing. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Never seen tactics like this. They have now a stop and search thing, frisk thing. They don't have to have a warrant or anything. They just passed 4 days ago, probably specially for this, by the Daily Machine. Daily's machine is really being exposed here for the strength that he's controlling the convention as well as the city. You know, it's just so apparent that he's just...
There's no doubt that it's a war going on. The cops come into the park at night and throw everyone out.
They arrested Tom Hayden yesterday in the park just for being on the park for unlawful trespass on a public park. So it was a straight political bust, so they marched to the police station. So it was a big march. The SDS has everything pretty well organized. It's amazing how well organized the SDS and
Alan Castleman is here from Evo, and he's going to talk for a few minutes. Castleman can't talk now. But maybe we can give some background as to what's really going on in Chicago. I would ask.
I hear they're not getting too much press on the East Coast and outside of here.
Yeah. Last night, approximately 15 newsmen from the radio and the newspapers and magazines were beaten up. So much so that the journalism fraternity, Sigma Delta Chi, has protested to the mayor and the Democratic convention. The Justice Department is here and following the cops around. Last night, a newspaper man was beaten up, and the cops left him in the street bleeding, and a member of the Justice Department came and got him to a hospital. Just amazing stories of brutality.
Probably the most brutal scene so far in this country.
The only parallels that can be drawn is to Nazi Germany. It's an armed encampment. If your hair is below your ears, you're an enemy, and you're going to be wiped out. The cops are waiting to kill. They're on double shifts. They're working 16 hours a day without any extra pay.
They've been trained to hate the hippies just like they hated the German gooks.
Right.
I mean, or the Japanese gooks in the war.
Right.
The same thing, man. They're really brutal. They let you know it, too, that they're not fooling around, that they're looking for an excuse to hit.
Yeah. Here's Alan Katzman now. He got roughed up a little bit last night. Maybe he could tell something about it.
I was in the park last night, about 11 o'clock, when there were about 3,000 people in the park singing, chanting. Allen Ginsberg was owing. John Genet, Jean Genet was in the park with William Burroughs. Just all kinds of people milling around and talking and waiting for the cops to come. And suddenly the bullhorn broke the silence. This is your last warning. Get out of the park. And the kids just got together and started pulling in trash cans to use as obstacles. They built up barricades. They pulled up barricades with park benches, and they dared the police to come and get them. And about a half hour of confrontation between police and kids took place, where everybody were yelling at each other. Then all of a sudden it broke loose, tear gas, police coming in full strong, swinging, grabbing kids into the bushes and beating them, six policemen at a time. It got really rough, people running all around, photographers getting smashed like crazy, beaten up brutally. Everybody ran out of Lincoln Park across North Wales. I jumped in my car and went to cover on the other side and got caught between a police gauntlet. And they started beating me up, smashed the car, broke the window with blackjacks and chains. People in plain clothes, which were police, plain clothes police. So I had to go to the hospital and get my arm put in a sling. And when I was in the hospital, I saw a man with a broken back, a boy with a broken back, a photographer who was blind, another boy who had stopped breathing because he had been kicked by 20 cops, and he was writhing on the floor and just all of a sudden stopped breathing. They had to rush to the hospital. The hospital I was in was on one of the movement's own hospital, made up of the hospital, hospital committee for human rights, which are fantastic people from doctors and nurses and medical students from all walks of life, who were waiting outside the park with priests and ran in there when everything broke loose to get to the people who were hurt, and the police struck them down, refused to let them come in, and just harassed them. They had shotguns. It was straight out of some Stormtrooper movie. The kids took to the street and tried to divert the cops.
They went in small packs all over the city.
All over the city.
This is where the bloodshed really started going.
And then it really started.
If you weren't in a big enough pack, you're open for them.
Yeah, and
if they're falling on a pack, they'll just grab you. It was pretty peculiar. Yesterday, we had a big march after Tom Hayden's arrest. I think they were talking about.
Yeah.
Up to the police precinct, and then onward over to Grant Park, across from the Conrad Hilton, where they captured a monument. After which, platoons, I would say, of cops just came right in, waving, beating the sticks on people's heads, grabbed them off of the monument, chased them back down. It's been one confrontation after another, and I expect to get more bloody in the next tonight and tomorrow. Expectedly, if the police keep their present form of conduct.
You know, I'm very glad for this report, because there's been no mention that I've heard in New York of this, except for the excellent coverage by BAI. Of course, WBAI is doing extensive coverage. Julius Lester is down there.
Oh, really?
And in fact,
I see him all over.
Yeah. Neil Conan has been at BAI almost around the clock, helping out over there. All of their personnel have been working quite a bit, trying to keep ahead of the reports as they come in. But of course, there hasn't been much in the other news media. It's been a calm, quiet convention, according to television.
Yeah.
About how many people are there? Is there a reliable estimate?
Well, last night there were about a couple of thousand people, but you can't tell because it's spread out all over the city. And as concerning the Yippie thing on Lincoln Park, it's all kinds of people from every walk of life. Chicago tough kids, the Chicago Negroes who come in wanting to help the kids and saying, let's stay in sight.
But it's a much more serious tone taking over right now. It's not just people goofing, especially since the last 2 days. Like, say, on Sunday, 50% were probably people from the outskirts of Chicago sightseeing. You know. But now it's people are really getting serious. They're going about it in a businesslike manner. They're handing out helmets. People are expecting the worst. You know.
Is there any use of mace so far?
There's been some use of mace. Haven't there been some use of mace? Well, yeah. That's it. All right. So we'll probably be calling back about 1 o'clock tonight.
Okay, fine. We have it on tape, so... Yeah, we'll
probably have a lot more things to think about. We haven't been organizing our ideas too well. You know, we're kind of, it's really been a strange scene.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get your head together on these things.
I understand you can't even get near the convention hall.
You can't get near the convention hall now?
No, it's,
They can't even get barbed wire around it.
You can't get near the Conrad Hilton.
Yeah.
There are cops inside the Conrad Hilton, except two people, twice, someone got in and lit up stink bombs.
People are very careful about drugs around Lincoln Park. However, there's a lot of graham cracker brownies as well as honey going around.
And THC.
THC, which is, some of these graham crackers have been handed to the police who have been getting pretty wiped out themselves. They're really doing a job.
Okay, you're on the air now.
On Saturday, was in the park, Lincoln Park. During the day.
This is, by the way, Winnie Bauman, who works here at the station, who is in Chicago with the New Jersey delegation. Go ahead.
And I was in Chicago on Saturday during the day, just walking through, in Lincoln Park, just walking through, and, you know, everything looked pretty calm, except all through Chicago, there were 12 policemen on each corner at all times. And in the park, there was, like, 3 policemen on each park there.
This was on Saturday.
This was on Saturday. Then on Sunday, I went through just briefly. And, like, the whole atmosphere in the park where the hippies were was completely different. I mean, they knew that the confrontation was coming with the police that night. And, you know, it wasn't this free-willing kind of thing. It was on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we've been getting phone calls from Bob Rudnick and Dennis Frawley.
Are they alive?
Yes, they're alive and well. They're going to be calling back in a little while. And they said that, you know, in the beginning, like on Saturday, the whole thing had kind of a picnic festival atmosphere to it,
right.
Which was the original idea of the Festival of Life.
Right.
And the thing that I still can't understand is why the city of Chicago refused to grant them the permit to remain in the park, which would have solved so many problems. Well, go ahead, be simple. Huh?
Well, you know, I can't say. I don't know, but from what I've heard, he runs the city completely, and people really, really hate him. I mean, he rules with an iron hand, and it's all mayor dealing. So, you know, Sunday, everybody knew that there was going to be this confrontation. They kind of planned it, and everybody was really uptight. And I wasn't there Sunday night. And then, let's see, Thursday was Monday. And,
where are you staying, by the way?
Bunny?
Where are you staying?
Oh, in some people's house.
Mm-hmm.
They have like they made their house into crash care. They have about 12 kids here. And we're working out of the Palmer House and the, Palm Hill.
I see. You haven't been inside the convention area, have you?
No. Mm-hmm. They won't let. As a matter of fact, I'm only allowed on certain floors of the Carlton Hilton.
Are you doing secretarial work and running and things like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
do you have to carry any sort of special identification?
No. You have to carry, you see, that's why I'm only allowed on certain floors. You have to pay something like $3 to get an identification tag, which you have to wear around your neck with a chain, spoke in the Hilton lobby today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
With his clothes on or off?
What?
With his clothes on or off?
With his clothes on, but with a picture of them off.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, yesterday night at about 9, I was in the park.
Go ahead, you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Well, you stopped talking for a second.
But I just was cut off for a second.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can't you hear me?
No, you seem to stop talking.
No, I didn't.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
And everything was really uptight.
This was in Lincoln Park last night. Did you witness any of the violence that took place there?
What?
Did you witness any of the violence that...
Hmm? 10:30. Because the cops started coming in, and I got very, very frightened.
Yeah.
Which is typical. And for me.
What type of weapons did you see the police carrying?
Well, at that time, I could only see that they had guns and they had nightsticks.
Mm-hmm.
But then we drove by Old Town, which is the hippie section of Chicago, at about 1. And all the streets were blocked off by police. And we stopped and we asked some people what was going on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
We stopped and asked some people what was going on. They said they were using tear gas. And this meant that they had been battling, like, between 11 and 1. These people had been battling for 2 hours at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, tonight, at about, as far as I know, they hadn't used mace until this afternoon when they broke up the, a prayer meeting.
Right, that's the report that we got from Bob also.
And then they used mace for the first time.
Winnie?
Yeah.
This is Rick Elmire.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. Do you have any idea how many people were in town for this? Have there been any reports issued in Chicago about how many people came into town for the...
I don't know.
Bob Rudnick was asked the same question earlier this afternoon when he called, and he said it's really impossible to tell because people are spread out all over the town. There's no telling where people are living or staying.
Tonight, when we were at the Hilton, on the 15th floor of the Hilton, and we looked out the window, and there were people down there, so we decided to go down and join them. So we went down. This was at about 10 o'clock. We got tired of watching the convention on television, so we went down. And so we joined these people, and there seemed to me like there was 1,000, and they had reported on the television there were 5,000. And, well, between that time, I just left. When I called you, I just got back to where I am. So that's where you're an hour distance.
Right.
So about 5 hours we were there, 4 hours. And when we left, there were about 500 cops all across the street in front of the Carlton Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Had you been driving through the streets at all tonight?
Yeah.
Did you witness any kind of harassment of pedestrians? This was one of the reports that came in from Rudnick, that any kid who didn't have a place to stay and was in the streets was immediately picked up or beaten up.
This is what we were told. We were told that as long as we stayed in the park, we could do anything in the park. As long as we stayed in the park, we were all right. But if anybody tried to leave the park, they were in trouble.
Who told you this?
This is the reports that came over the radio that the police were letting out.
This was this evening?
This evening, yes.
That they were going to let people remain in the park?
But this is not Lincoln Park, this is Grant Park.
Oh, I see.
So all the people from Lincoln Park came down to Grant Park.
Grant Park?
I think that's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, Grand or Grant. And, or some general. And it's a small park.
It's certainly not big enough to accommodate the people that are there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is big enough. There weren't that many people, there were only about 1,000. And, so there were more policemen. I've never seen so many policemen in all my life. And we were there to greet the delegates as they came back from the convention, which was the purpose. And I spoke to some newsmen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I spoke to some newsmen who said that the police had told them that they had to leave because the demonstrators were throwing bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And the... Or some kind of metal or something. So they ran from the press, questioned this, and they said, no, you have to leave. So he came over and spoke to us, and he said it was just so if anything went wrong, it wouldn't go over on the press. But the police were telling the press to get away.
Yeah. Did you hear the report this evening about the CBS reporter, Dan Rather, who was beaten up?
What?
On the floor. There was a CBS reporter, Dan Rather, who was beaten up on the floor as he was attempting to cover something.
Hmm? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hardly hear you.
You can hardly hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you keep talking then.
Okay. I know that there was some incident at the convention quite a few things going on. Mayor Daley got up and insulted anybody. He said if not, this is my city. And if you don't like it, you can all get out.
Mm-hmm.
They, I don't know if you've heard that they not only built barbed wire around the convention hall, but they built fences.
They built what?
Fences.
Fences.
Around the ghetto areas, so the delegates would not have to see them.
Did you get that, Ben?
Yeah, this is interesting. I haven't heard this reported anywhere before. Listen, what is the mood right now with the New Jersey delegation? Yes.
Well, anyway.
When?
Basically, what we're doing for the... Can you hear me?
Yes, vaguely.
Well, I can't hear you at all.
All right, it's a very, very bad connection.
Yeah. I can hear you now.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on with the New Jersey delegation?
I don't know. They're trying to conserve it. And I also say, most of them are poor. Keep it in the rule.
It's very, very difficult for me to hear you.
Okay.
Hello? This is an extremely strange conversation we're having here. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah, this phone line is very bad. Maybe we ought to terminate the call.
I think so.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
You take care of yourself now.
Okay.
And depending upon what happens tomorrow night, give us a call again.
Well, okay.
All right?
We'll do.
Okay,
bye.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
So long, Winnie.
Little dramas, they put on their black pajamas and come lobbing mortar shells at me. But Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation, I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. We'd go around in helicopters like a bunch of big grasshoppers searching for the Viet Cong in vain. They left the note that they had gone, they had to get down.
Huh?
To
side. Yeah, I'm gonna try. Okay, you're on the air now.
On Saturday, I was in the park, Lincoln Park.
This is, by the way, Winnie Bauman, who works here at the station, who is in Chicago with the New Jersey delegation. Go ahead.
And I was in Chicago on Saturday during the day, just walking through, in Lincoln Park, just walking through. And, you know, everything was pretty calm, except all through Chicago, there were 12 policemen on each corner at all times. And in the park, there was, like, 3 policemen on each park bench.
This was on Saturday.
This was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Sunday, I went through just briefly. And, like, the whole atmosphere in the park where the hippies were was completely different. I mean, they knew that the confrontation was coming with the police that night. And, you know, it wasn't this free-willing kind of thing. It was on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we've been getting phone calls from Bob Rudnick and Dennis Frawley.
Are they alive?
Yes, they're alive and well. They're going to be calling back in a little while. And they said that, you know, in the beginning, like on Saturday, the whole thing had kind of a picnic festival atmosphere to it,
right.
Which was the original idea of the Festival of Life.
Right.
And the thing that I still can't understand is why the city of Chicago refused to grant them the permit to remain in the park, which would have solved so many problems. Well, go ahead, be simple. Huh?
Well, you know, I can't say I don't know, but from what I've heard, he like runs the city completely, and people really, really hate him. I mean, he rules with an iron hand and an all mayor dealing. So, you know, Sunday, everybody knew that there was going to be this confrontation. They kind of planned it, and everybody was really uptight. And I wasn't there Sunday night. And then, let's see, Thursday was Monday. And,
where are you staying, by the way?
Funny?
Where are you staying?
Oh, in some people's house.
Mm-hmm.
They have like they made their house into a crash pad. They have about 12 kids here. And we're working out at the Palmer House and the Carlton Hall.
I see. You haven't been inside the convention area, have you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let. As a matter of fact, I'm only allowed on certain floors of the Carlton Hilton.
Are you doing secretarial work and running and things like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have to carry any sort of special identification?
No. You have to carry, you see, that's why I'm only allowed on certain floors. You have to pay something like $3 to get an identification tag, which you have to wear around your neck with a chain in order to get on any floor of the Hilton other than the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Louis Zabalowski spoke in the Hilton lobby today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
With his clothes on or off?
What?
With his clothes on or off?
With his clothes on, but with a picture of them off.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, yesterday night at about 9, I was in the car.
Go ahead, you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Well, you stopped talking for a second.
I just was on hold for a second.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can't you hear me?
No, you know, you seem to stop talking.
No, I didn't.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you now.
And everything was really uptight.
This was in Lincoln Park last night. Did you witness any of the violence that took place there?
What?
Did you witness any of the violence
that...
Hmm?
10:30. Because the cops started coming in, and I got very, very frightened.
Yeah.
Which is typical. And for me.
What type of weapons did you see the police carrying?
Well, at that time, I could only see that they had guns and they had nightsticks.
Mm-hmm.
But then we drove by Old Town, which is the hippie section of Chicago, at about 1. And all the streets were blocked off by police. And we stopped and we asked some people what was going on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
We stopped and asked some people what was going on. They said they were using tear gas. And this meant that they had been battling, like, between 11 and 1. These people had been battling for 2 hours at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, tonight, at about, as far as I know, they hadn't used mace until this afternoon when they broke up the, they broke up a prayer meeting.
Right, that's the report that we got from Bob also.
And then they used May for the first time.
Winnie?
Yeah?
This is Rick Elmire.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. Do you have any idea how many people were in town for this? Have there been any reports issued in Chicago about how many people came into town for the...
I don't know.
Bob Rudnick was asked the same question earlier this afternoon when he called, and he said it's really impossible to tell. Because people are spread out all over the town. There's no telling where people are living or staying.
Tonight, well, when we were at the Hilton, on the 15th floor of the Hilton, and we looked out the window, and there were people down there, so we decided to go down and join them. So we went down. This was at about 10 o'clock. We got tired of watching the convention on television, so we went down. And so we joined these people. And there seemed to me like there was 1,000, and they reported on the television there were 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, between that time, I just left. When I called you, I just got back to where I am. So that was you're an hour difference.
Right.
So about 5 hours we were there, 4 hours. And when we left, there were about 500 cops all across the street in front of the Carlton Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Had you been driving through the streets at all tonight?
Yeah.
Did you witness any kind of harassment of pedestrians? This was one of the reports that came in from Rudnick that any kid who didn't have a place to stay and was in the streets was immediately picked up or beaten up.
This is what we were told. We were told that as long as we stayed in the park, we could do anything in the park. As long as we stayed in the park, we were all right. But if anybody tried to leave the park, they were in trouble.
Who told you this?
This is the report that came over the radio that the police were letting out.
This was this evening?
This evening, yes.
That they were going to let people remain in the park?
Yes. But this is not Lincoln Park. This is Grant Park.
Oh, I see.
So all the people from Lincoln Park came down to Grand Park.
Grand Park?
I think that's the name of it. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Grand or Grand. And, or some general. And it's a small park.
Certainly not big enough to accommodate the people that are there.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. is big enough. There weren't that many people. There were only about 1,000. And, so there were more policemen. I've never seen so many policemen in all my life. And we were there to greet the delegates as they came back from the convention, which was the purpose. And I spoke to some newsmen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I spoke to some newsmen who said that the police had told them that they had to leave because the demonstrators were throwing bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And the, or some kind of metal or something. So the man from the press questioned this and they said, no, you have to leave. So he came over and spoke to us and said it was just so if anything went wrong, it wouldn't go over on the press. But the police were telling the press to get away.
Yeah. Did you hear the report this evening about the CBS reporter, Dan Rather, who was beaten up?
What?
On the floor. There was a CBS reporter, Dan Rather, who was beaten up on the floor as he was attempting to cover something. Hmm?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hardly hear you.
You can hardly hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you keep talking then.
Okay. I know that there was some incident at the convention. Quite a few things going on. Mayor Daley got up and insulted everybody. He said as much as you can march city. And if you don't like it, you can all get out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard that they not only built barbed wire around the convention hall, but they built fences.
They built what?
Fences. Around the ghetto areas, so the delegates would not have to see them.
Did you get that, Ben?
Yeah, this is interesting. I haven't heard this reported anywhere before. Listen, what is the mood right now with the New Jersey delegation? Yes.
Well, what is it?
When?
Basically what we're doing for the... Can you hear me?
Yes, vaguely.
Well, I can't hear you at all.
All right, it's a very, very bad connection.
Yeah. I hear you now.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on with the New Jersey delegation?
I don't know. They're trying conservatives. And I say they, most of them are for the community rule.
It's very, very difficult for me to hear you. Hello? This is an extremely strange conversation we're having here. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah, this phone line is very bad. Maybe we ought to terminate the call.
I think so.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
You take care of yourself now.
Okay.
And depending upon what happens tomorrow night, give us a call again.
Well, okay.
All right?
We'll do.
Okay,
bye.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right,
so long, Warnie.
Well...
As they're through typesetting a copy, and they're going to go back out into the streets and will be calling us every hour, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm very tired, and I'm finding it hard to speak. Who collaborated the report of the firing?
Bob.
Bob had witnessed it?
Yeah, he said he was down on the street. And
is this in the vicinity of the hotel?
That we didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get that. We were just, you know, like, very anxious to find out exactly what flight Peter's coming in on with the copy and the pictures.
In other words, it could be really anywhere in Chicago,
yeah,
and probably someplace
nothing is known.
Where the newsmen probably aren't even at.
Yeah, we'll find out later. But, like, right now they're concentrating on getting this copy done.
Yeah.
We've got some 700 pictures coming in
mm-hmm.
on the plane. And, one of the guys from Evo hasn't been heard from in 7 hours. They don't know what's...
Really?
What's happening, yeah.
Is Dennis with Bob?
He didn't say. I think they were all together.
Yeah.
I think they're just putting the carpet together now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's catching a 12:45 flight to Cleveland, Chicago time.
Mm-hmm. And how is Alan?
He's all right. He was in the background there. He's supposedly all right. We didn't get much of a chance to talk because they want to go and finish the copy so we can make the plane. And we'll be going out to the airport to pick him up
mm-hmm.
at 3 o'clock. I guess.
Were any of them a part of what took place tonight in front of the hotel?
That we didn't get a chance to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your main concern right now is getting that copy back. Huh?
Yeah, because like from what he has told us, we should have some like dynamite things coming in.
Yeah.
We've got a cartoon, a political cartoon coming in,
mm-hmm.
and pictures of beatings, and all sorts of nefarious activities going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think they're relatively safe. I think they're staying in the loft of the Seed, the Chicago Seed. And they're venturing out into the streets now and then.
Yeah. Did Bob mention whether or not he planned to call the station?
He didn't say. He was just, like, in a hurry. He said he will be calling back.
He'll be calling Evo.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, he probably will call the station as soon as they're finished with the copy.
Yeah.
Do
you, by any chance, have a phone number where they can be reached?
No, we don't.
You don't?
They've been moving around.
Yeah, that's what,
back and forth.
That's what I figured, because we haven't been able to get one from them either, so, I guess that's probably the safest way to operate.
Yeah,
there.
They will be sending in a chronological report, of everything that's happened so far. So when that gets here, I guess maybe I can read some of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's now 1:41 by my clock here in the studio, and this conversation is being taped, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is because of this report that you've given about the police opening fire because of it.
I don't have the time on that.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm just saying that you've said it now, so that if we do find out later on, you know, that it is true. And, we'll see how long it takes the major news media to report it.
Well, I got a feeling that not too much of it is going to be reported.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, really silencing everything. I think another fight broke out on the convention. They're holding the roll call vote now.
Are they holding it?
Yeah, and, like, Humphrey is, like, just, you know, so far out in front, it's ridiculous. They're through, like, 35 states now.
Well, now what has happened? I haven't been watching TV, what has happened to this the so-called movement to adjourn?
I guess that was defeated because they're voting.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone try? Did anyone present it?
Yeah, I think so. I think two people had made a motion, and I don't know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a minute. Hey, Bob, how many states are through? How many states have voted so far? You got an idea what the count is? It's over 1,000 for Humphrey so far.
Over 1,000 at this point?
Yeah.
And he needs something like 1,300 some odd to win.
What does he need, Bob? 13 what?
Huh?
How many does he need?
13, 12.
So
the thing that that I foresee right now, you know, within the next few minutes, because it's not going to take him much longer to get those votes,
yeah.
I won't be surprised at all if the same kind of thing that took place, you know, downtown in front of the hotel erupts, you know, in that convention hall tonight.
I don't think, I'm thinking ahead to, like, tomorrow night. If they're at all smart, they'll figure some way out to do something. Because, like, if he gets it and, you know, tomorrow night when he shows up to name the vice president for his acceptance, he's really, I shudder even to think of what's going to happen.
Mm.
You know?
Because, there are a good number of people in that hall right now, the delegates, who are just, you know, so angry and so fed up that,
yeah.
I think that there's an explosive situation there.
It's like a practical joke turned nightmare.
Right.
On the sidelight, there's a friend of ours, she's from Spain, she's visiting, and she was watching on TV, and she goes, so this is how you choose your president.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is, like, really a strange statement, man. It's, like, it's ridiculous. I mean, what is it, man? It's just a big free-for-all. And, When they were calling off some of the votes, some of the states would mention X amount for Humphrey, X amount, blah, 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 and two absent because of illness. And this was, I think this happened in three states.
Mm.
And obviously the delegates are getting it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Zod, I'd like to keep in touch with you tonight.
Okay.
If Bob does call back, tell him that you spoke to me and that we'd appreciate it very much if he can find the time to give us a call.
Okay.
And maybe when your copy comes in and you get some time, you could
sure.
inform us as to some of the things that you've got there.
Okay.
Okay, Zod, take care. Do you have a radio there?
Sure.
Are you picking us up?
Yeah.
Okay,
no
fine.
Problem.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Dennis Frawley.
Dennis Frawley, right?
Right. How are you, Dennis? Are you healthy?
Yeah, I'm still together. I'm
okay.
In today, most of the day. We had to write the column.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do not the column. We had to write the whole thing.
Yeah, well, we've been in touch this evening with Zod and Pete Leggeri and everyone.
Oh, yeah, over at
Yeah,
Evo?
Right.
Oh, they mentioned that we've been calling in there?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We're trying to get a plane in time. I don't know if we're going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Are you and Bob planning to come back tonight?
No, we won't be able to make it back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a car here with a front smashed window, you know.
Yeah, right.
They smashed in.
Well, the last time we spoke...
They're getting some radio, a lot of TV coverage now on the riots, you know. From down on Michigan Avenue, it's been on the national TV on Huntley Brinkley.
Yeah, right.
People are getting hip to what's happening.
Mm, we've had a set here all night,
yeah.
Which is the way we've been learning for ourselves what's happening. Yeah. What have you?
Driving away in buses now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, man?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah. What's happening in New York?
Well, in New York, we just received a report that the Fifth Avenue Mobilization Committee is sponsoring. A gathering in Times Square. This has already started. There are people there. Ed Small is there, and he'll be calling us soon to tell us what's happening. This is being spread by phone and over WBAI and now over FMU.
They're running up to just groups of people on corners now, walking from Grant Park to Lincoln Park, and some of them trying to get back and just really pummel them.
Yeah. Cops are more like vigilante groups now in Chicago.
You don't walk the street.
They have license to do whatever they want. If you're walking home and look like a freak or a long hair or a peace demonstrator, no matter what your age is, the cops have license to just jump out of their cars and beat the living hell out of you. Just now, I don't know if Dennis told you, 400 troops were sent into Lincoln Park to clear it up.
Yeah.
The National Guard.
The National Guard.
Arrests, the kids are being put on $250 bond for each charge of disturbing the peace or something like that.
Just
one girl.
Something. They have a million charges they'll get you on. You know,
one girl.
Nothing. They have curfew here, too. You know, if you're under 7, if you're under 18, you can't be out after 10:30. I think it is.
11. One girl is being held under $20,000 bond for
biting the neck of a policeman.
Right.
Really? Who's making the arrest now? The Chicago police?
Allegedly, she bit the policeman's neck while she was being beaten.
Mm-hmm.
That's what onlookers say.
Yeah. The horrifying reports of the fact that the police refuse to allow medical help to people they just beaten up. It's impossible to get to Grant Park now. I tried to get through twice tonight, and I don't know what's happening at Lincoln Park at all. The news reports are just terrible. We have to turn to the TV news to find anything out. and try to get through on the street.
Well, even in some of the tapes that the three major networks are playing, it's fairly obvious that the police aren't allowing too much medical support in. I can remember seeing things where the voluntary medical people would come dashing into someone who had been injured, and then they themselves would be attacked. One of the things Zod mentioned before, Bob, is some rumors that someone had begun opening fire someplace in the city.
There were apparently some shots fired by National Guardsmen, but I haven't been able to verify it. I heard it from some people on the street. But
they've been shooting for a few days. They were shooting blanks previously.
Right. There have been gunshots, but it's been blanks as far as we know. No one has been killed since Dean Johnson Thursday night.
You know that last night they chased all the priests out of the park. We reported that.
Right. And
we're going to go to Lincoln Park at about 3 o'clock. Nothing else will be able to get into there, which will be for your time. How late are you going to be on the air?
We'll be on the air right straight through, so please keep calling us.
I understand that only through WBAI and WFMU are people getting any reports about what's going on.
Not today.
Well, today the TV networks are covering at least what happened tonight at the hotel. This seems to be the only thing they're dwelling on. Of course, they're covering all the brutality and the nonsense in the hall.
Humphrey got a whiff of tear gas?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
That's great.
And there have been some very, very strange things happening in Convention Hall, too. Newsmen like, Wallace, what's his name? Mike Wallace?
Yeah.
He was beaten up and then badly thrown around and,
by the pigs.
Everybody, everybody's getting
it. Cops came onto the convention floor for the first time in the history of the United States at a nominating convention.
Mm-hmm.
That's never happened before. Also, did you hear McGovern, now I just found out what's going down, and he wants the convention to stop right away. Well, it's over now, but he wants it to be moved to a week reset.
Well, I guess it's too late now. There was a...
the man hasn't made an acceptance speech, so that... If when
they were asking for a unanimous appeal, right?
No, but that won't happen. That didn't happen. So
that's one of the reasons they closed it down.
If someone can be recognized tomorrow to bring this up and debate it, then Humphrey won't have a chance to make an acceptance speech tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the Daily has such control over the convention that whatever he wants will go through.
Have you been able to talk with citizens of Chicago at all?
I have to tell you that since what's been going down the last 3 days has been happening, people who have only seen long hairs on TV or in movies are just as hostile as the police. And in some neighborhoods, like, kids are getting beaten up just by the people in the neighborhood. It's like
Michael Eunice, the art director, had a hard time getting back to the house tonight.
It's like being a nigger or a Jew in Nazi Germany, man. You're marked by your appearance or your walk, or you look like an anti-Vietnam cat, man. The aura is different in someone if they're tend towards peace. And Chicago is a city of ethnic camps, man. The Poles always live with the Poles. I was at a Lithuanian bar Sunday night, and it was a hip Lithuanian bar. These were McCarthy people, a little uptight with them because of a stand on Czechoslovakia, doctors and whatnot, but they still were in their own neighborhood with their own people, even though they were really groovy. And Chicago has always been this way. The Irish Catholic, there are 60% of the population of Chicago is Catholic, and they're just hardcore ethnic groups, man, and very uptight about any stranger. And Dick Daly is loved by all of the ethnic groups.
That's my major question. That was my major question. That was what I was driving at, as to how the people of the city actually felt about him.
But the people in Chicago over 30, man, want to kill everybody.
Yeah,
it's a small Midwestern town, and they're violent people. I mean, after all, Cicero is the Western border. And they clubbed a spade to death 3 years ago for walking through their neighborhood with baseball bats. They killed him. He was going for a job interview, and they did it. They smashed his head in, and only got a 6-month sentence. Right,
Bob? Can you?
Then Zinger, right?
Yeah. Can you think of any reason whatsoever, because of the reputation that Chicago and Daly has had over the past couple of years, why in the name of whatever they chose to hold it there in the first place? Have you thought about this at all?
Yeah, I was here in '64 when Chicago was supposed to get the convention and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was a member of the Daly organization at that time, by the way. And
member of what?
He was supposed to get it. And Daly was snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Kennedy, Daly was the first backer of John Kennedy in 1960, and one of the things he was promised was a convention here again, and Johnson messed him up on that. Therefore, there was no doubt that he would get it in '68, and it was promised. Chicago is a city of, until this year, no strikes, rioting that wasn't reported, although last year 8 policemen were picked off from trestles and bridges throughout the South Side. It's a city where whenever there's a problem, Mayor Daley has been able to handle everything by calling people into his office and just threatening them. He's been in office, you know, for about 14 years. And everyone loves him. The businessmen downtown on State Street love him. The big department stores to the Gary, Indiana steel firms, which are pumping poison into the lake and the air. They all love Mayor Daley. He's done something for everybody. This is a rich city, you know. It's easy to make a lot of money in Chicago. And all of the ethnic groups are not starving ethnic groups like in Manhattan. They're middle class. Every ethnic group in town. Even there's an overwhelming number of middle class spades who are Democratic Party workers. They may be janitors, but they're janitors making $650 a month. Mm-hmm. You know.
You mentioned
they're concerned about their security, and the man that got it for them, the man that who they rose to middle class with from lower class was Richard J. Daley, and that's his strength in the city. And that's his strength in the National Democratic Organization, is that he has guaranteed them a vote every year. He's guaranteed Kennedy the state, he guaranteed Johnson the state.
And he's people's sons and daughters aren't with him. Though.
Yeah, he's a powerful man.
Mm-hmm. Bob, let me ask you a couple of...
Set up.
Go ahead.
You know, like, it goes down to the precinct level. The city is divided into wards, and the wards into precincts. And there's a precinct captain and a number of assistants in each precinct, which amounts to, I think it was 500 voters. And the precinct captain and his co-workers get to know each one of these voters personally. He gets a number of jobs to give out to these people. Maybe a precinct captain might have 50 or 100 jobs, depending on who lives in his neighborhood.
Used to be precinct captain.
Yeah. I had a groovy job. I did nothing and got $550 a month. Didn't come in and go to sleep. So, but I was thrown out of the party in 1965, I think, for supporting an anti-Vietnam candidate who now is the Daley Machine candidate for Congress again. He's back, but I'm not. Anyway, so that Daley, like every time he has a cold, you know, the precinct, he must get 250,000 get-well cards. Because the precinct workers, all of the Democratic Machine is about 75,000 members itself. And there are over 400,000 people in the Cook County area who have either federal, state, county, or city jobs. And all of those people give a 3 to 5% kickback to the Democratic Party. I paid it, and I know it, you know, and it's accepted.
Yeah, right.
Also, things like, dig this now. If the Red Cross or the Boy Scouts are having a fundraising drive, well, Mayor Daley says, I want each employee that got a job through us to pay $2 or 5% of a salary, whatever, and you pay it, man. They take it right out of your salary there.
Mm-hmm. So, have you been in touch with any of the delegates, you know, the McCarthy people or, you know?
Since Monday when I talked to Iowa and Nebraska people, when there was a big thing going for McCarthy. It was a tremendous... what I'm thinking now is this whole Ted Kennedy thing was really a shock. That's what stopped McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
Now, I'm you know, in watching TV, I'm just trying to see if I can feel out, you know, what appears to be quite a large, you know, anger on the looks and the faces of a lot of people, you know, in the convention hall tonight.
Yes.
And I don't know what that's going to turn into.
I understand that tomorrow night that some of the delegates, this is just a rumor from the street, are really going to put up a squall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but willing to get thrown out, like people like Ribicoff, maybe.
Yeah, and they were...
Maybe. You know.
O'Dwyer is also...
Yeah, he was thrown out.
Was he thrown out tonight?
That's what I just heard just now on the local radio.
Mm-hmm. I heard that
one guy from the west side of New York City was thrown out.
Mm. Yeah, right. I forget his name. Lowenstein or something. Alan Lowenstein.
Or someone else.
Yeah.
Hey, man, the state of New Jersey is really voting a pretty conservative line, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. As a matter of fact, my choice for Humphrey's running mate is Governor Hughes. I'd like to see that happen.
Oh, wow.
Listen, were you at the hotel tonight during the battle?
I was there for about 15 minutes, as close as I could get. But since I didn't come from the park, I couldn't get into what was going on. Some of our people were in it. Spain Rodriguez, the cartoonist for Evo, who did that great cover of the Spade chick flying on the wings during the Republican convention,
right,
was in it. He manned a barricade and punched out two cops. We have given him a Medal of Honor.
has anyone from Evo been arrested?
No. Alan Katzman got beat up.
Yeah. And again, or?
No, the other time we told you. Mm. Pretty strange watching cops driving up and down the streets and buses, just busloads of cops.
You know, because it appeared on TV that at the point when they brought the paddy wagons in and the police began charging the crowd, that they were just arresting everyone in sight.
Well, they were, but we weren't in their sight at that time.
Yeah, right.
What's happening, Vin, is that the kids here, man, that are walking home, and let's say that 15,000 people came into the city, and this is including middle-aged, middle-class people, are really not going to ever walk down a public street without being armed.
Mm-hmm. Vin?
Influential person in Chicago today is Bobby Seale of the Black Panthers. He made the most sense to everyone.
He made a speech on Monday, and then they really listened.
He said,
and his philosophy sort of seemed to make sense in the face of the present situation.
Bob, in one of your very first reports, you mentioned something about speaking to a Puerto Rican leader.
He was on the local television. And said that the city of Chicago has done nothing in the last year to ease the problems of his community. Now let me tell you how bad this is. Last night Dennis and I were walking home, running home, and avoiding the cops after we dismangled one with a well-hurdled piece of shrapnel. Man, a rat ran over my foot. Now we happen to be a block from the Puerto Rican neighborhood. And that's where the rat was headed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 2 years ago when I was living in Chicago, the Puerto Ricans rioted, and no one went into their neighborhood when they had control of their streets, man. A cop didn't go in there until those people decided to calm down. Now, I don't know what's happening there tonight. I'm not about to drive in it. But
yeah.
We haven't heard any reports. One of the things is that, you know, since there's no news reports, you know, like, I'm really scared, like, to go into a Spade area where I know there's a great deal of hostility, even though, when we're fighting in the demonstrations, we're fighting hand-in-hand. I don't know about the ethnic makeup of the different neighborhoods, and,
mm-hmm.
like, when they're rebelling against all white authority, you know, that just means all white authority, and anyone that's white is labeled. So I haven't been able to, like, go into the black neighborhoods or the Puerto Rican brown neighborhoods or whatever they're called, as well as not being able to go into the Polack neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a further report from New York.
This is Mitch Gold here with us.
What's that?
Go ahead, Mitch.
Ed just called and said that there are a few hundred people in Times Square. The crowd is growing larger by the minute. CBS is there covering.
Credit card.
So that's the latest.
No, we got credit card.
I guess Ed will keep us informed as to what's happening there.
Right.
All right, listen, we're going to get off now. Got to run someone to the airport, and then we're going back into the park, and we'll try and get to a phone before 6 o'clock.
Well, listen, don't worry about 6 o'clock. Just call whenever you can.
All right.
We'll either be on the air or we'll tape it.
Okay. Fine.
Okay?
Right.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chanting things like we've been humped and bring the Gestapo home, and as I say, the crowd is still growing.
How many do you estimate now?
I really can't. Everybody seems to be in a very tight area, and it's
mm-hmm.
really kind of hard to tell. I don't know.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple of phone calls confirming the fact that there are people gathering in other parts of the country.
Sure.
Well, in California, and when I mentioned it before on the air, I forgot the town. It wasn't either of the two major cities in California. A girl received a phone call from a personal friend.
It wasn't Oakland, was it?
It might have been Oakland. I don't remember now.
Yeah,
just, you know.
Kind of logical.
But evidently there are places, it would seem, you know, to be the thing to do at this time.
Yeah.
You know, as I said before, either people getting together in public or, you know, in the privacy of their homes.
Yeah, the TPF are kind of standing around beating their clubs. They've ringed the demonstration.
They've what?
They've ringed the demonstration itself, and they're trying to make it difficult for people to get in and out of the demonstration. But people have been doing it. I know it didn't take me really very long. I had to try going under the barricade a couple of times and finally did it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you out of the demonstration area now?
Yeah, I am. I'm a block away.
Right.
Otherwise, it would be rather noisy.
Yeah. Did you find out anything about a permit?
Yeah. Nobody knows anything about a permit. That's what I found out about.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, this was called very, very hastily by the Fifth Avenue Vietnam Peace Parade Committee.
Yeah.
And although they usually are extremely efficient, you know, in things like permits and stuff like that, I can see with all their major people in Chicago and emotions running the way they are, I can see emotions getting to even the people in that kind of radically subdued office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if radically subdued is the proper word to use, but they are kind of calculating as far as planning things are concerned.
How's the
not to demean them.
How's the mood of the crowd? Has it changed at all?
Yeah, I'd say I think there's a mixture of kind of general morbid mood and some anger.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they were shouting slogans like you know, the Gestapo. Were these being directed at all towards the TPF?
Yeah, they were being directed towards the TPF
mm-hmm.
in particular, I would say.
Yeah, and the TPF reaction being?
Let me put on just somebody who was walking by and let them tell you why they're going to the demonstration, okay?
All right, fine.
Who is this?
WFMU.
Oh, FMU, right.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, yeah, you're on the air now.
Yeah, this is Ron Moyer from New York Resistance.
Yes, Ron.
We've just been watching the thing on TV this evening. There's a few of us left from the Resistance in New York. Most
mm-hmm.
everybody else is in Chicago, you know, either bloodied or in jail.
Yeah, have you gotten word from many of your people?
No, we called our movement headquarters all through the night, and no one's there, and there's supposed to be people there. Even if no matter what happened, there was supposed to be people there,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what's happened because there's absolutely no word from them.
Yeah,
and so we decided to come up here to see what was happening. I just kind of barely heard it on BAI when I was listening a little while ago, and you all probably had it on the air too.
Yeah, right.
And I'm pretty well disgusted. And pretty well upset. I wasn't allowed to go to Chicago. I was with a few other of the guys that stayed with us in New York to try and run our office
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we had high bails of $5,000 and like that on us, and so we couldn't go outside of the state. And you know, watching that thing on TV tonight was just incredible, watching the guys get beat and the reports during the week that we'd had back from our people in the movement center. I mean, it's incredible. There's nobody in there because there's a guy taking sanctuary in the movement center out there. There's an AWOL soldier who's taking sanctuary,
right.
And there's nobody in there.
Have
you heard anything about that?
No. Is the phone ringing?
Yeah, the phone is ringing.
The phone is ringing.
And no one's answering it. So I don't know, you know, what happened. Whether they busted into the place or what. We have no word. And,
mm.
and so...
How close is this place to Lincoln Park?
I'm not really sure. I know it's on South Woodlawn Street it's in the south side of Chicago.
Yeah. See, because the last report that we got live from Chicago, which was about an hour ago, from Bob Rudnick and Dennis Frawley, stated that there was a gathering in Lincoln Park beginning to take place, and that there was probably going to be a confrontation with the National Guard. So that, you know, this might be where everybody split to. I don't know. You know, there's no more TV coverage now. All the stations are off, and it's difficult to get any kind of radio news. We're just sort of relying upon phone calls, and, you know, that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
BAI is doing now, too.
Right. I just think that things have really been pretty well screwed up tonight by by the good old pigs of Chicago, and I think the pigs across the country are just we're ready to go. We're ready to go up against them, and it's just about time that they get put up against a wall instead of us getting put up against a wall.
Well,
I know, the feeling in the group that I'm with that has been together, quite a while, for a few months, really working in resistance, is a lot different tonight than it was. A few months ago. Even after the Pentagon, most of us have been even at the Pentagon. After that massacre, I just couldn't believe that there was going to be another thing, and I expected it in Chicago, but it's just incredible what happened. And so I just don't think that we're going to be, we're not going to let people hit us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to have to hit back.
Well, do you anticipate anything happening this morning in Times Square?
Up here, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on.
You haven't been there yet.
Well, it's right across the street, and they got them in. They got everybody in pig pens. The little lines, and I just don't like those lines. We'll see you later.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello,
bye-bye.
Ben?
Yeah.
Hi. One of the other kids who was just passing by said to me was something that I thought about a while ago when McCarthy first got involved in this thing, and I really sort of think that a lot of the kids who are sort of on the borderline of having some concept of where the country really is at politically have been pushed by the situation into a realistic attitude about the country. And I think they finally seen that they really have no stake in the system that they're living in.
Yeah, well, this is very obvious with all that happened tonight. Watching the TV stations.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah, right. But just the idea of watching the TV stations switch back and forth between the convention with speeches and hoopla and bands, and then switch to a tape of all this bloodshed. And two totally different things happening in the same city, and really about the same thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard when you're dealing with somebody who's sort of badge in life is a stick and a gun and a badge and a uniform. Unanimity with the most non-thinking forces in our society, it's kind of hard to tell them where they can hit and where they can't hit, So you sort of had this kind of into the convention where a CBS reporter was getting slugged while he was trying to carry on his appointed rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, in that much excitement, it's kind of hard to tell somebody on the Chicago Police Department that they're not allowed to touch certain people and they are allowed to touch others. I was waiting for somebody to go for Mayor Daley, I was waiting for one of the cops to go for Mayor Daley when he went into one of his tires. You can't do that here. And Daley screaming like, this is my town. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, they had quite a barrage of cops surrounding the entire Illinois delegation. Daley just sat there with that kind of boss smile on his face, it's incredible. Can you see what's going on now from where you are?
I can only see the corner of the demonstration, and it just seems like there are more police and more people, they really seem kind of crowded on those lines. They have them penned in.
Mm-hmm. There's been no erection of a platform, speakers, or anything like that, has it?
No, I don't think it'll take that kind of form.
Yeah.
Whatever goes on, I'm sure will be kind of extemporaneous on the part of the demonstration.
Yeah, are people carrying either things like radios or things like helmets?
Yeah, people are carrying a lot of radios. They're listening to FMU and BAI.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone look like they're coming prepared for a fight?
I haven't seen any helmets yet, except on some reporters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're learning their lesson, I think.
That's quite possible.
Yeah.
I think
it's good. I think it's really sort of turning into a blueprinted kind of thing, you know. The thing that happened in Paris, you know, had been seen before, you know, by the French in Algeria, on a greater level, you know, and you know, in the social situation that they were in, the framework that they were in, it was, you know, it was pretty much the same kind of picture, and the same kind of thing might apply in America. I'm afraid in America that it would be a more bloody kind of thing than in Chicago, than in France. There's already, in this particular action, there's already been one 15-year-old kid killed, you know, in Chicago. And, you know, it's really very sad that the people with the existential commitment in a very non-existential time are the people who are going to suffer for, you know, for the sins of their grandfathers and grandmothers, you know. And fathers and mothers.
You're becoming quite philosophical in the wee hours of the morning.
Well, it's very easy on 42nd Street.
Lots of things are easy on 42nd Street.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, get back to work and
Yeah, look, if things keep going and if they keep building up and other things start to happen, I'll call you back. If not, good night.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, fine.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. No, he hasn't.
All right, we're getting things set up
here. Where are you now?
Huh?
Where are you?
I just left the march that's going down towards with Dick Gregory, who they've arrested now.
Yeah, right.
You heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah, you heard about all that. And I just left the whole thing out of it. They're bringing busloads and busloads and busloads and busloads of Chicago police down the street. I see they're taking air out of tires, the National Guard and the cops.
Well, they announced... They announced on Channel 2 that this thing had been very peaceful, this march, so far.
As far as I could see, it was right now.
Yeah.
Where I was, you know, it was peaceful, but whether or not how it's going to get, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But they are bringing...
Because Daly is down on it.
Yeah, right. I know. Oh, wow. He's incredible.
It's really strange. They had a big rally. Was much of that go on TV? The rally with McCarthy speaking? I was right there.
No.
Oh, yeah, they had a big rally right across the street in Grand Park, you know, from the hill.
Was this this afternoon? Or?
Yeah, this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, they did show portions of that, yeah.
Okay.
On now?
We're all set to go on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just fade down what I got going here.
Yeah, too, George.
I'll make a little announcement. This is WFMU, Freeform Radio at Uppsala College, East Orange, New Jersey. We have Dennis Frawley on the phone from Chicago, and we're going to see what he has to say in a moment.
All right.
And we're going to see what he has to say in a moment.
Okay, go to it.
All right.
Yep.
What's happening at FMU?
Well, a lot of things have been happening at FMU, and
you know what I didn't even know about was how that concert went last Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Vin?
Well, yeah, the concert went very well, you know. So
I got there, but I was like,
now.
Yeah,
Dennis, could you repeat what you just told me about the demonstration or the march that you had just taken part in?
Yeah, the march is going down from the front of the, across from the Hilton there, going down the street. They're going to what's his name's house?
Daly's house?
Four breaths. Yeah, five long city blocks or so, 3,000, 4,000 or so. They were following Dick Gregory, who started the march and was in the front, but he's now been arrested. They're bringing in, as we were leaving, they let all the air out of our tires of the car. This is the kind of things that are going on.
They let the air out of your tires?
In a press parking place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a press thing on. But they're bringing in just busloads and busloads and busloads and busloads of Chicago police, as well as the National Guard is out with their rifles, tanks. It's really a strange scene going down. But there isn't too much violence at the present time, you know, or bloodshed at present. What's going to happen, although we don't know. You know,
well,
or what's happened to it, the march as of right now, I don't know either.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, television, you know, the news reports are mainly concentrating on the acceptance speeches of the, you know, of Humphrey and Muskie.
Yeah, Muskie is in there, right?
Yeah.
Muskie is the cat?
Muskie is the vice president, yeah.
Humphrey and Muskie.
What was interesting is that for a while, Julian Bond's name was on the nomination list until they discovered that he was too young.
Oh, yeah?
And he had to withdraw. Of course, it was symbolic anyhow.
I know,
but
a lot of people were saying that the mayor of San Francisco might be the vice president.
Well, luckily enough, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I haven't been watching TV. I don't know what's happening. It's
yeah, well,
there. I've just been in the park.
See, the only reports they've given out are that Dick Gregory was arrested in a peaceful march because he crossed, you know, willingly crossed the barricade and knew he would be arrested. Now, they've mentioned nothing whatsoever about, you know, this building up of police or anything.
The barricade. He said he was just walking to his house. He said, and I'm inviting everybody to come to my house. And that's not, he said that that was legal, you know. And then they had some negotiations. They talked, but then they started the march, and I guess they got him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they arrested him. They also arrested Abby Hoffman the other day. They've arrested almost all of the leaders. You know, they arrested Tom Hayden, of course. You know about that on Monday.
Now, are the charges...
There was a big rally there across. About the time I got there, it was going on. Right across from the ship, from the Hilton, in which everyone from Krasner, various members of the SDS in New York and around, and other revolutionaries... gave really good speeches, dynamite speeches, and feared that what's going to happen, what the tone of this was changing into a more militant atmosphere, and really down on the whole system. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the kids are really, it's really changing their attitudes, the people here in Chicago.
In the convention itself, there have been any number of cases tonight. I've been watching it since it convened, any number of cases of dissident delegates who are really showing their anger. They can't get very far, you know.
A group of delegates was leading this march, you know.
Right.
Some of them from Illinois. One from Illinois, one from New York, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure now.
What I'm waiting for now is for Humphrey to appear. You know, he is in the hall.
Yeah.
But I want to see what will happen.
Is that up there?
Hmm? Yes, we have a TV here. It's the only way we can really get the news right away.
Right.
Is there any communication between what's going on, you know, in the hall and the people who are, you know,
I don't know
together now?
They're trying to get there, you know. Whether they can get there, it's really a long walk.
Yeah.
And I started on it. It was moving so slow that we got kind of a headache. I haven't slept in a couple of days too much,
mm-hmm.
and decided that it was a bit much. And I would see what was happening on, you know, get out of it, especially when I saw the tanks and the busloads of cops coming down.
Right.
They had a big rally today. McCarthy spoke, you know, across the street there in Grand Park. He came in and kind of contradicted himself. He talked like an anarchist for half of his speech, and then told them to get back into the system, and he was going to try to keep electing senators and people into the cabinet, you know, as best he could.
Yeah.
He was going to work for them that follow his policies.
Well, I think he's...
Who else spoke today? Salinger spoke. Got just pretty mixed response, you know, and various other politicians who were obviously just trying to bank on a little publicity,
mm-hmm.
you know, which the crowd was hip to pretty much, you know, and just illuminated the fact even more of the system and where it was at pretty much to a lot of these kids down here.
Yeah.
It's really a strange scene.
Well, this evening at the convention, more and more incriminating evidence is coming out against Daley.
Yeah.
It's been proven now that the whole system of the card identification to get into the hall was a hoax, that a college identification card and also slips of paper can be used in this machine, this computer machine.
Oh, yeah?
The galleries are stocked right now with Mayor Daley supporters who are also Humphrey supporters. It's really incredible. Daley has been sort of making the rounds of all the head TV people, you know, trying to save face. And he's making an ass out of himself. It's really incredible.
I saw him on TV last night. I saw this. Did you see this? I guess you saw the thing going on down in the convention last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, really strange.
So are you going out?
Really some town tonight.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, are you going out again tonight?
Probably later on if we can. I'm really knocked out, though.
Yeah.
Bob evidently is out now. I don't know where
mm-hmm.
he is.
Well, could you please, you know, if you do go out, call, and if you see Bob, have him call.
Yeah.
No matter what time it is, all right?
Yeah, they had a big rally. They had Tom, who was there today? Peter Yarrow and Mary Sang.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of these people are giving political speeches, too. Who was the other, the folk singer, Phil Oaks sang and spoke a lot, time, they always speak to the servicemen and sing to the servicemen, sang the song about the liberal,
yeah,
and the song "I Ain't Marching Anymore," some of those things, as well as did a lot of speaking. A lot of speakers up. Krasner got up and said that the leader of the whole Yippie movement had been Mayor Daley, and ripped his picture up, calling him the leader of the Yippies.
Dennis, have you been able to find out how many people from last night have been hospitalized or arrested?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they're really giving no help to the medics.
Right.
They're getting they're knocking down medics. They're giving them no help. Supposedly, a medic got up and spoke today too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really uptight about the whole thing.
Well, no one can find out how many people are in jail or in the hospitals. There is a priest from New York who has collected bail money and is trying to bail these people out, and he can't get the proper information.
Yeah.
Which is, just another feather in Daley's cap.
Too, by a lot of the hippies and yippies, mm-hmm, down there around Grant Park now. They're going across the street to the Sheraton, to the Hilton, and playing on people's guilt, you know.
Yeah.
So I talked to one guy who made $140 in 10 minutes, saying that, they say whatever they want, you know, just either begging or using some other false thing. You know, there's a lot of people just out making bread off of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, meanwhile.
As far as you can see now, though, the spirit seems to be...
There's nobody in Lincoln Park. It's all gone. That all left. This morning there was nobody there when I went down.
The spirit is becoming a little more militant now, though, right?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt that it's going to stay that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the whole speech has been going. No more. They say now that the answer isn't to go out into the streets in big masses where they can get you. They're saying to go out in threes, fours, fives, all over, in all of the cities. They say when you get back in New York and back in San Francisco and L.A., they say this is the tactics they want to start. They want people to start using. It really, really seems to be the change here. Apparently, you know, at this particular point, it seems like psychedelic people are really joining in with the militants and the really serious organized movement.
Yeah.
Such as the SDS and these other people.
Right.
They're really beginning to take it seriously.
Dennis, I think Humphrey's coming on now to accept the nomination, so that
okay.
It might be interesting to see what some of the dissident delegates are going to do at this point.
Right. Okay, we'll call in later on.
Okay, please do.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Do that, Dennis, will you? And you can be back Sunday night probably, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I think so. Hope so. Our car is bashed in, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to take
I was going
to
say, that car sounds like it is a wreck now, huh?
Huh?
The car sounds like it's a wreck now.
Well, it's still running, but they smashed in the whole front windshield, and that's about all, but the car is leaking water. We had to put in water every 25 miles.
In the radiator, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It needs a water pump, I think.
Has there been a lot of smashing of cars? Or just out of state, maybe?
A lot of letting air out of tires.
Yeah.
People, there have been witnesses that have seen cops just flash tires.
Just walk up to a car and...
It looks like they belong to hippies around Lincoln Park a few days ago. Our car's tires were flat when we got out today. When we got ready to get in them, but they hadn't been flashed, evidently done by the reserve.
Do you know if the EVO staff that was out there managed to get away okay?
Oh, it was EVO?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we had a big hassle last night at the airport. No, they didn't get away till this morning.
Yeah. Do you think they got into New York in time for the edition they wanted to do? I understand they had a lot of pictures that they wanted to print in the paper, right?
Yeah, right. They got in today. They had to go straight to the where they were printing, to the printers in Jersey, and try to set it up there. You know, Peter Michaelunas. We couldn't get them in on a half fare.
No.
And we had to pay extra for typesetting, extra for the photographers. And everything.
Wow. Should be a great addition, though.
Yeah. Who was on the show on Wednesday? Did anybody show up?
Wednesday night was the night the guy from Playboy was here. That was John Gaby was here last night.
He was there. Yeah.
Oh, was that Tuesday night?
Oh.
That was Tuesday night, maybe, yeah.
Tuesday, right.
That's
Wednesday,
right.
Wednesday you did it.
Wednesday I did it, and Thursday is now. I guess it's about 10:30 over there, huh?
Yeah, 10:30. Oh, it's 11:30 there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You have to... That hour difference is interesting, and anyway. Well, keep your head.
All right, I got a headache.
take an aspirin.
I'll call back later and figure
okay.
out what else has been going on. I guess we'll be able to get it, have it a little more organized when we get back.
Yeah, it should be very interesting to see what Humphrey has to say.
Yeah.
And I remember...
Although you can kind of get an idea of what he'll say.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's...
Monday night, Bob said something about if Humphrey did, you know, come to the hall, that was going to be a pretty significant thing too, right? That was going to create a lot of ill feeling. And
that hall, man, is really guarded.
I understand. when people with passes are getting busted...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
They grabbed Gil's press pass out of his hand.
Oh, really?
He grabbed it back and wanted to find out the name of the cat that did it. But nothing happened to us, unfortunately, on that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as the law and order here. I mean, there's any kind of right, you know, that stands here right now.
Well, one delegation...
Nobody has any rights.
One delegation on the floor said something about Gestapo tactics and so forth.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The thing is, a lot of people are beginning to realize that it isn't just the hippies that are being oppressed.
Yeah, right. I'm hoping that the average American middle-class... guy that sits down and drinks beer and watches his television and up till now at any rate has said, well, listen, if those kids are going to do something wrong and act up and be silly, that it's just as well the cops bash their head in. I hope those kind of people are watching very closely, and I hope they have a color set, because on a color set...
We're out in the streets now, too, here in Chicago, I'll tell you that.
Sure. Sure.
In Chicago, anyway, a lot of the people are really down on their own police force. There was a citizens' committee in Lincoln Park, you know, that got together and was really uptight about what was happening in the neighborhood, despite what the cops were doing. They were going to stay in Lincoln Park a few days ago, but it didn't come off.
Yeah.
But the citizens are.
Yeah, the average citizen is now.
Yeah, they're getting
involved.
Finding that they're just as vulnerable as anyone else.
Certainly. Right. You don't have to have long hair.
Yeah. But if you have long hair and you're alone, you better...
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, Dennis.
Okay.
Call later.
All right, ciao.
Right, bye-bye.